and you're all wrong, or he's all wrong and you're all right. The question today really is, who do you say he is? Now, you remember I said yesterday, you may be better be careful. You may be giving your mama's answer. I'm going to ask you, who do you say he is? If you believe that Jesus is really God, you could not help but adore him as a person, and your whole life would be striving to be like him, because he revealed what it was to be human. And it is not impossible to do what he said. It is the highest ideal for a man. And man must strive for the highest ideal, or it drives him nuts. Many people have set their goals for lesser ideals, and it drives you crazy. You know, well, I tried money a while, and I didn't get happy no matter how much of it I got. I tried women a while, and no matter how much, I didn't get happy. I tried booze, and no matter how much, it never gave happiness. I'm talking about the thing that'll bring happiness into your heart. The thing. Nothing else. If Jesus is God, this is what'll do it. Y'all remember Nicodemus saying, Lord, I've repaid that one, and I've repaid this one, and I do this, and I did this, and then Jesus said, you're close to the kingdom of God. See, he's in that process where he's beginning to look at people properly, treating them properly, and it's healing who? Nicodemus. You know, somebody said to me, well, David, you can't treat drug addicts like that. They don't deserve it. I don't see any good coming from it. And I says, oh, you didn't know me before. Isn't that awesome? I want you to listen to Mother Teresa in that address to Congress. The peace of the world is when you develop a situation in which others cannot bother you. The peace of Jesus is when you learn to be good to everybody. And the peace comes. And nothing takes it away. Isn't that good? So, let's continue with this. Carol's not a cannibal. I'm not a cannibal because I wasn't raised in a group of cannibals. If I'd been raised where the people around me were eating people, I would think it was perfectly normal. And if some jerk came along telling me there was something wrong with it, I'd have probably got mad at him. Maybe you and I are in the same condition. Maybe we're just as crazy as the cannibal. Is there anyone in this room that used to be a Hindu and you became Christian? Is there anyone in here that used to be a Muslim and you became Christian? Carol, why are you a Christian? Because it's the way you were raised. Oh, my. That'll really bring some understanding to you, won't it? You didn't choose it a bit. Was where you were raised. Oh, no. In other words, if you had been born in India, you'd be a Hindu. If you'd have been born in other areas, you'd be a Muslim. You'd be born in another area, you'd be a Buddhist. And me and you get all excited about people that are Muslims and Buddhists, don't we? Well, I'll tell you what you do then. You quit being a Christian, become a Muslim. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you, Kathy, you can't do it.
I know I can.
Isn't that awesome? Well, then why would you require something of them that you can't do? Well, sweetheart, some of you, any of you know much about Mother Teresa? You know she's never asked a person to become a Catholic? Never. You know what she tells Hindus? To be the best Hindu you can be. You know what she tells Muslims? Be the best Muslim you can be. And you know what she tells Catholics? Be the best Catholic you can be. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that will solve the problem in the world. Not trying to rob somebody of their mind. Not trying to indoctrinate somebody into your way of thinking. set their minds free. For God lives in everybody.
Now, I know some of you think now he's the one that's insane. It's all right. All of us live by what are called self-evident truths. For instance, to everybody in this room, it is self-evident that you should be Christian. Right? Okay. And y'all know I'm not trying to talk anybody out of being Christian, am I? But I want you to understand something. And there'll be a great healing in it, and something very good can come from it. All of us live by what's called self-evident truth. We make our decisions from that. This is the basis our decisions are made from, and then we reach conclusions. Okay? How do we get this self-evident truth? Where does it come from? And I'm going to pick on Carol again and help you see where it comes from. It comes from how you was raised. Okay, so let's take Carol in her mother's kitchen and Mama's baking cookies. I bet Mama did that with you. She's in there just baking the cookies, and she puts them in a big cookie jar, and she says, "Now, Carol, keep your hands out of the cookie jar there for Sunday." And an hour later, she walks back in the room, and Carol's up to her elbow in the cookie jar. Just couldn't stand it. They were her favorite kind. And she thought Mama had went down to the store. And she didn't count the cookies. You know, she will never know if I have a cookie. So here you're caught with your hand in the cookie jar. What might your mother do? Slap your hand. I told you to keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Well, Carol just learned a self-evident truth, and it's this. When somebody bigger than you tells you to do something, you better do it because they can hurt you. Right? Carol learned it so well that when her 4-year-old sister walked into the room and jammed her hand in the cookie jar, what'd you do to her, Carol? You slapped her hand. Now, did that come from God or from Mama? Now, I want you to listen to Jesus. You got to turn your back on your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers. You can never, never, never live their faith and it be real. Please don't think I'm talking against Christianity. I'm not. But I'm telling you, by imitating them, it doesn't solve the problem. John's hurting over there, isn't he? Yeah. So that's the way we get self-evident truth. It's self-evident. Mama's bigger than me. She told me to do something. I didn't do it. She hurt me. Folks, that produces cowards. Anybody in here believe that God's interested in producing cowards? When a person doesn't do something because they're afraid of getting hurt, is that bravery? It's a coward. Folks, this whole world has fallen apart because of what I'm talking about. And we think people are brave. That's a kamikaze pilot, the way, you know. You know, the kamikaze pilot, he'll fly his plane into a ship because he's afraid. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? What's he afraid of? And I'm not talking about be afraid of going back home. He has been taught that if he'll do that, when he's dead, he'll get something good. Okay? You know, that's the way most Christians think. If I go to church enough, and I'll do enough rosaries and enough novenas, I'll go to heaven. I've told you from the beginning I'd like to get you out of that kind of thinking. Because it's sick. You telling me God's into bribery? Bribery's a virtue. Producing cowards is a virtue. No, it isn't. Is it possible that we've looked at this wrong? Or is it possible that we're brought to where this is supposed to bring us and it should keep on maturing and there's something else for it to go to? Maybe that's the way we're supposed to look at it. I'm going to read to you a list of self-evident truths that I believe probably most of us were taught. Okay? And you're taught them by watching people and imitating them. Okay? Nobody sets you down and says, this is 10 truths you got to accept. Oh, no, no, no. Somebody bigger than you whacks the hell out of you. You learn right quick. When somebody bigger than you tells you to do something, you better do it because they can hurt you. And folks, I want to ask you, why do you pay your taxes on your house? You're afraid you'll lose your house. Why do you drive 55 miles an hour or 65 with your eye in the rearview mirror all the time? Because you're afraid somebody will get you money. And folks, I can go on and on with this, and we're living lives like this and thinking it's all right. Jesus came to set us free so we could do the highest good. Here's number one. You can hate some people and love others. Did you learn that? How many of you saw the movie? And some of you, with your mind, you're going to reject these things. But here's what I ask you to do. Look at your life and see if you don't live them. Because your conscious mind will lie to you. It'll tell you you're doing something that you're not doing. You're doing something else. You can hate some people and love others. Most people have learned that. How many of you ever saw the movie South Pacific? Our crowds are getting young enough that we got a lot of people anymore that didn't. It's a classic movie. I'm going to remind you of a song in it. You've got to be taught before you're too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You believe you were taught to hate somebody? Bet you were. I could talk to you 15 minutes about it and guarantee you were. Those damn communists. Don't even know one, you know. Damn niggers. You understand? When you sit around the house and listen to mom and daddy do that, oh, that's right. It just natural becomes a part of you. An eye for an eye. And look, many people in here say, oh, no, 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 I know the church teaches different. Now, I ask you, do you get even? Is it one of your first premise truths? When somebody does something to you, you get even with them. Ladies, when your husband has not been the kind of husband you want him to be, do you sleep on 18 inches of the bed with your back to him? That's getting even. Show that sucker. What's the matter, honey? Nothing. You understand, don't you? That's an eye for an eye. It's a very part of our being. Jesus did this. I'm convinced what I've got drawn up here, Jesus said. If you build your house on sand, every time a storm comes along, it'll wash it away. But if you build it on a rock, no matter how hard the storm blows, if your self-evident truth are lies, you get your house blown away all the time. And folks, we get ours blown away constantly. The most fit survives. You can get good out of people by force. You know what our church teaches? You never get a good by force. Legislated virtue is vice. That's the way Thomas Aquinas said it. Yeah, you either go to Mass or you'll go to hell. And so you go to Mass because you're afraid of going to hell. It's a vice. My church teaches that. You don't get good out of people by force. Good can only come from a will that's set free. You get good out of people by educating them properly. And I'm not talking about education, what's going on in schools today. That's not an education. Maybe I'll have time to mention something to you about education. We can kill others, but not our own. Did you learn that? You bet your bippy. What were you hollering when they was dropping bombs in Kuwait? Or in Iraq. God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. That's out of Poor Richard's Almanac, Benjamin Franklin. And I know there's a sense, there's a truth there, folks. Good things happen to good people. Everybody hears, oh no, I don't believe that. Well, have you ever said to your children, you better do the right thing because God will get you? And that's just what you're saying. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And Jesus said, God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. The one with the most servants is the greatest. Oh no, I don't believe that. If Hillary and what's his name walked in here, I'd be through. Everybody would be jumping up. And, oh, there's the president and his wife. Oh. That's what that's about. Some of you in here saying, oh no, I hate that sucker, David. I'm going to listen to you. Well, how about if the Pope walked in? Ah, got you on that one, didn't I? Yeah, David, you're through. Or how about if a long stretch limousine pulls up in front of your house and a guy gets out with a $1,500 suit, 500 shoes, you beat him to the door. Open the door. Oh, yes, it's good to see you. What's your name? And then how about if you got this shot? What? And you look out your window and you see this coming to the front door. What? Yeah, you run to the front door, all right. Lock the sucker and run and hide in the back bedroom. You understand? Money will bring safety and security. Do you know what? If you looked up the Greek word for salvation, the first two English words by it is safe and secure. Sozo. What makes you safe and secure? Or what do you think will make you safe and secure? And you spend your whole life working for it, knowing it won't. Any of you ever got enough money you felt safe and secure? Oh, God, if I could just get another insurance policy. Oh, God, if I could just get that supplemental health care plan. And you get it, and it ain't, don't do it, does it? If I had enough money, I'd be safe and secure. All of us capitalists are taught that. And if you think you don't believe that, you look at the way you think. Most everybody that ever comes talks to me in my office, money would solve their problem. That's something. Just give me enough money. Well, it's not my God, but give me enough money. Well, let me give you some of God. Oh, I don't want none of God. Give me some money. Love your enemy. I don't want that. I need my light bill paid. What do you need? You need more money or you need to learn how to love your enemy? Do good to those that hate you and pray for those that persecute you. Bless those. That's what we need. Don't need no money to do that either. You know that everything that I've mentioned is diametrically opposed to the words of Jesus. Every one of those. And most of them, they're our self-evident truth. And if they are, and our logic works perfect, what are all of our conclusions? If this is a lie, if your foundation is a lie, and your logic works perfect, what are your conclusions? We're not talking about telling a lie, folks. We're talking about our whole life being a lie. Every conclusion we reach it being a lie. Because the problem lies here. That's our problem. That's what Jesus said the problem with. The problem's in the mind, and you need to change your self-evident truth. You can't hate some people and love others. If you hate anybody, you hate everybody. Now, folks, I know this is all different degrees in all of this, but Jesus is telling you that your mind cannot hate some people and love others. If it has hatred in it, it hates. Tomorrow I'll get further in that because some of us don't understand what hatred is. If you hate a Russian, you hate your own kids. Hello. This is where the problem lies. This is what needs to be changed. See you tomorrow.